This is the Women's Protection and Empowerment Podcast, where we give space to talking about women and girls in humanitarian settings. At International Rescue Committee, we deliver innovative programs focused on preventing and responding to violence against women and girls. We are in pursuit of a world where women and girls live free from violence as valued and respected members of their community. This movement is about equitable access to opportunities.
Empowering women and girls means a lot for development of the next generation, and it's important for the development of a country.
It's about catalysts for change.
Women and girls are not just the faces of poverty. They're also the key to overcoming.
It's about voice and respect.
The path to victory is still long, and I'm not ready to give up. This has become to me more than a work, but a passion to see women and the girls are gaining what has been for long denied to them.
From IRC, this is the WPE Podcast. I'm Christy Crabtree.
Women and girls are one of the groups most at risk of violence from interpersonal to societal in humanitarian settings. This violence translates into a lack of meaningful accessibility to the community and freedom to pursue their potential. The introduction of digital literacy can have benefits for women and girls and introduce a new avenue for pursuing their potential. This includes empowerment, access to information, job opportunities, and broadly, gender equality. Digital spaces provide a platform for women and girls to actualize and share their talents, impacting their choices, power, and security by providing tools that can break existing constraints on movement, social contact, and agency. And with all this in mind, today we're going to talk about the recently developed and very exciting Safe Space to Learn digital literacy curriculum. If you've been wondering whose voice this is, I'm Megan O'Brien, filling in for Christy Crabtree, because she's our guest today. So welcome, Christy.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks for hopping into the host seat.
Yeah, happy to be here. So, can you tell us what this is? What is the Safe Space to Learn digital literacy curriculum?
At its base, it's a digital literacy curriculum. It's designed specifically to be used with women and older adolescent girls in humanitarian settings. And it was written by myself and Sally Beirudi, a public health student from Columbia University.
So why do we need this?
Over the last 30 years or so, there's been a really unprecedented shift in how we deliver programs, how we reach and engage with women and girls and other populations, how we communicate, how we exchange information. So many elements of our programs now have a digital delivery component, which has been especially spurred on by COVID-19 movement restrictions. This is all fine. This is a generally positive development, but in many ways, it feels like we've skipped ahead in time without really accounting for how and who, most importantly, is being left behind. So at IRC, in the Violence Prevention and Response Unit, we have a responsible data and digital technology strategy that includes guiding principles for our approaches to data and technology. One of those is digital inclusion. With that, we know it's more important than ever that we're acknowledging the massive digital gender gap, the age gap, the urban-rural divide, that we're not making assumptions about access to technology, and instead, we're really planning for remote program adaptations that are inclusive and that aren't harmful to women and girls and to other groups at risk in humanitarian settings. So what we're doing there, I mean, we're trying to apply a gender-sensitive and safety prioritizing approach to digital inclusion work. We know if we kind of look at this from a proactive stance that we can not only protect, but we can strengthen the ability of groups like women and girls to exercise human rights, to extend their access to information, increase feelings of agency, all while we're promoting the use of digital technologies in an inclusive way. But really, inclusion is the key word here. And that's where this curriculum comes in. We know there are opportunities everywhere to utilize technology to the advantage of women and girls. Evidence really suggests a gender-sensitive approach to that. So before COVID, we conducted in Lebanon and Uganda some internal research to ask more of these questions about the gender digital divide. There's lots written up by that. GSMA has some great resources, but we really wanted to look specifically with the populations that we're working with. What kind of access women and girls have to technology? What are the barriers? And if I can oversummarize our findings, we found that technology has a really gendered imbalance, which I think won't be a surprise to most people listening. For women and girls, we found that access and usage of technology was really negatively influenced by socioeconomic and cultural barriers. And highest among those were, you know, prohibitive cost of devices and negative attitudes towards their use of digital technology, which then also has an impact on digital literacy. And all of this can really be traced back to social norms about the role of women and acceptable behaviors, restrictions from public spaces, which then limits exposure to technology and really, again, weakens digital literacy and technical confidence to really access opportunities to learn more about it, all of which then has a further negative effect on just desire to use technology at all.
The question that's coming up for me as you're talking about this is that there's a huge gap that is coming out of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious how you would even start a curriculum to address these pieces, because it feels like such a monumental issue. How could one resource even start to dive into this?
I think that's a really good big question. I'm frankly not sure this resource is going to answer everything, but I think and I hope that this is a starting point. There's a lot of digital literacy materials out there on the internet, but there's not much written specifically for women and girls in humanitarian settings. So I think that's where this is trying to find an opening, and I hope that this is a first step and it kind of builds out from there. What we know is that we can't ignore this. Technology and the internet are really a vital part of our existence now and a really crucial space for vulnerable populations to raise their voices, for women and girls to have more experience and access to technologies to lessen the gender digital divide. And really the shift in the ways that we're working from COVID proved this need further. While the world is really moving to utilize technology to facilitate access to services, there's a risk of further exacerbating these gender inequalities that are already there by making everything digital and not also having the literacy component as part of that. So with this curriculum, we've tried to make something that was gender sensitive, trauma informed, safety prioritizing. Those were the three kind of lenses that we applied to this, and that's how we came up with the modules that we have.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear you talk about how we've kind of skipped ahead from addressing this digital literacy gap and gone straight into utilizing technologies and programs and dissemination. So there's this missing piece that sounds like this curriculum is starting to address. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's actually in this to accomplish that and start to fill this gap in?
Yeah. So we have kind of an introduction to the digital space. If we're starting from zero, thinking about people who maybe haven't turned on a computer or really had meaningful access to a phone at all, we're talking about, you know, what does it mean to be in a digital space? We're starting from zero there. Then we're talking about digital accounts, which is kind of the way that you do almost anything on the internet. We're talking about mobile apps, and then we're getting into some more like practical elements. How do you find information online, which also includes some components of misinformation, and which I honestly could have entirely derailed and gone into media literacy. And, you know, if there's someone listening here who has money to burn, I would love to dig into that further in connection with this. We talked a lot about staying safe online. So that's a really big component of this curriculum, because the research that we had from Lebanon and Uganda and lots of other research that other organizations have done really scream about the need for us to really think about safety when we talk about women and girls utilizing technology, because the things that our surveys shared about the perspective from local communities about women and girls using technology was, you know, really kind of scary in how negative it was and the assumptions that people were making about what women and girls were doing online. So that staying safe component is really critical in this curriculum. We have a whole piece on social media. Obviously, that's a lot of how people communicate and connect. And when we surveyed women and girls, what came out highest in terms of what they'd like to do if they had access to phones or the internet, it was connect with other people, communicate with other people. And then we have a piece on digital skills for education and employment. So just, you know, looking at the broad spectrum of who people are online, there are things that we do for ourselves, there are things that we do to connect with others, there are things that we do for our futures. And so that education and employment section addresses some of that. And then we have a capstone project to tie it all together. You know, we don't want people to just sit there and absorb all of this information, but also want to put it into practice. So the capstone has a lot of flexibility depending on your setting, what you might want to do. And there are some really cool things that you could do, but we definitely want to have something there to kind of tie it all together. We also have a knowledge assessment that starts the curriculum. And this is really to understand participant knowledge about technology, their existing access to technology. It gives you a kind of baseline for planning. I wouldn't say that's necessarily an M&E tool, but really just to understand where people are at. So we're looking in that assessment also at things like literacy, not digital literacy, but just literacy and numeracy, right? That's also a potential assumption that you're making by training someone on digital literacy. If you have a group that's primarily pre-literate, you're going to have to restructure your training on digital literacy as a result of that. So we're trying to at least give you a starting off point with that knowledge assessment just to see where you're at and if there are some building blocks needed before you get into digital literacy. And really, the whole curriculum is built on the assumption that you will be using this as a kind of psychosocial activity in women and girls' safe spaces. So you could use the curriculum as a standalone project, but I think it fits best when it's attached onto a different program.
So it sounds like it's covering a lot of ground and it has been designed to really take into consideration multiple different contexts. But how would someone take this essentially course and use it? How do you take this guidance forward?
I think the first thing is review the content and then really do some thinking based on your program, because every program is going to be unique in terms of how you're already coordinating and implementing psychosocial activities in safe spaces. Like I said, this was meant to graft onto other programs. In particular, we thought about women and girls safe space activities. So you'll need to do some planning in your program on how this fits in, what that means in terms of staff time, resources needed. I mean, hardware is a big component of this, right? You're going to need some kind of hardware to have women and girls use while they go through this curriculum, or potentially to loan out as a kind of library model, or as it's safe in your setting to gift that as well. So those are some decisions, kind of operational decisions you'll have to make for each program that will be unique. The curriculum itself is structured so there are instructions throughout. There are, I think, four different types of prompts. So there's ones that say what the facilitator should say out loud. We have explain, what the facilitator should explain in their own words. Ask, so questions that you could use to kind of guide a conversation with participants. And then do, which is activities that you can do with participants. And then, of course, throughout there are notes for the facilitator.
So what would you say is on the horizon for the digital literacy curriculum? What does its future look like?
Hopefully funding, in all caps. We tried to get funding from a lot of different donors for this project over many years. And although everyone recognizes that it's a need, there's a significant lack of funding because it's not the newest, most innovative thing. Yet we're jumping into technology headfirst and just hoping that people catch up. So I think this is a labor of love at IRC that we really push forward. And I would love to see more funding come after that, which is one of the reasons we're doing this podcast as well. Is like, hey, here's this resource, which we've just launched and already gotten internally a lot of interest in. But I would love to see more resources go into digital literacy. And if you want to title that as digital inclusion, great. Those things are all wrapped up together. And yet we're jumping beyond that with most of our funding. we had this curriculum translated into French, Spanish, Arabic, and Burmese, which speaks to our dedication to get this out there in as many settings as possible. We did this on a very shoestring budget, so on the smaller side, we could use additional funds to design the document in those languages. But we would love to fund rollouts of this, to fund a project that would really look into specifically grafting this onto the Girl Shine program, which is an empowerment program for adolescent girls. I think this would be a fantastic fit and probably just needs a little bit of reworking and some of those operational aspects to really figure out what way best could it work for adolescent girls. But I also think that's a really exciting moment in someone's life to really insert technology in a really responsible and safe way and see how girls can take it forward. That, to me, is really exciting. And I would also love to pair this work with some social norms messaging. So lots of opportunities. If donors are listening, reach out. We're around. I really would love to see this digital literacy curriculum or a different one really take off for women and girls. And also for some of the other populations we talked about, there are huge barriers for elderly populations and also for populations that are living in rural settings that are kind of left behind as we shift more and more of our programs to digital delivery.
Yeah, you mentioned how this is an exciting moment in someone's life to be able to find agency through using digital technologies, whether it's social media or just an account. I am personally very excited to see this curriculum piloted. Like you said, I think there's a huge opportunity here, and I am excited to do a follow-up podcast where we're able to talk about how the rollout of the digital literacy curriculum went. So thanks for joining us as a guest today, Christy. And everyone, be sure to find the digital literacy curriculum on gbvresponders.org.
Thanks, Megan. Safety, voice, respect. Join the WPE movement.